All right, folks, you might have noticed that this isn't the normal Songs and Stories podcast. This is an episode of Sex 101. It's my other podcast that I do with Dr. Stormy. And if you haven't listened yet, we thought this would be a good opportunity for you to listen. The guys and I were in Hawaii, and we were not able to record, so we were going to take a break. And I was like, you know what? People want to hear about anal. But seriously, I think you might. You might want to learn a little bit of something. And this is edutainment, sex edutainment, if you will. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. If you haven't heard from Dr. Stormy, she is amazing. You're going to love it. Yeah, this is going to be great. So next week, we'll be back with Songs and Stories and a lot of listener submissions next week for songs that people are sending in their songs. And we're going to roast them, if you will. So rock and roast is going to happen next week. So make sure you join us. But for now, enjoy Sex 101. Is it hard for you to talk about your sexual wants, needs, and desires? Well, you're not alone. It's hard for everybody. And that's no pun intended. Are you hard right now and can't talk about it? Well, if so, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm Toby. I'm from the band Emery. I've also led a bunch of men's groups with the True Man Experience. And I'm working on this podcast with Dr. Stormy, who is an amazing sex coach who has helped so many people. And that's what we're here to do. We were here to open up the conversation. You need to be able to talk about your sexual desires, your wants, and yes, even your needs and where you can take your sex life with your partner. So sit back, relax. We're taking listener questions. We're going to have a great episode. Join us because this is the sex education you always wish you would have gotten. All right, we're back for another episode of Sex 101. And today's topic, we have gotten several questions over the course of this podcast about it. And of course, I'm talking about the salty salamander, going down a dirt road, stemming the rose, a Swedish bike ride, rear injection, exit polling, colon spelunking, colon bowling, painting the dinosaur, sliding into fourth base, putting a bike in the trunk, cleaning the gutters, having a case of bunghole fever, a Frida Felcher, an uphill gardener, a rump roast, a zoom zoom in the boom boom, and a Christian side hug. Yep, we're talking about anal play today. How you doing, Stormy?
I'm good. I mean, with an intro like that, that couldn't be better. That's amazing. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man. This one is a, no pun intended, it's a sensitive issue sometimes because people want to try this. I was looking up, trying to do some research as well. I didn't realize how long like anal play has been around. Like it, I mean, it was very popular with like the Greeks and all kinds of stuff. I mean, people, this is something that's not new. I think a lot of times people think of it as just new and, growing up super conservative Christian, it was perverted, sodomy and looked down upon and all this stuff. And then come to find out it can potentially feel really good and really nice and something that could be fun, you know, shared with a partner.
Amazing, right? And like that's really what we're going to talk about today is what they call HAI, but heterosexual anal intercourse, right? And it, to your point, often it gets lumped in with like, oh, that's what male on male sex is about, and that's actually so not true, statistically not true, and also just experientially not true. And so, you know, today my desire with our audience is to kind of open their mind, and open other parts possibly too, but to to the pleasure that is there, the exploration that's there, and also like we talk about in every episode, the beautiful opportunity for really cool, deep communication around the subject and the experience of anal play.
Yeah, 100%. Well, okay, so I have a question right out the gate. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel this way. Does it feel good? Is it, what is that why you do it? What's the draw here?
Yeah, because
there are other places, you know, to go and that are really feel really great too, and this one seems a little scary because it's a lot of times the phrasing is exit only, you know,
unless you're doing anal play, that is true, things only go out the anus and out the rectum, and so there is, you know, so a couple reasons why you would do it or even consider doing it, so it should not hurt. The number one reason reported that women and men haven't liked anal sex or anal play is because it's of pain. So, but you know, we're going to go through some tips today. It should not hurt. If you're doing it right and doing it well, it doesn't hurt. It might feel uncomfortable, tight. That's one of the benefits of it. It does feel tight. Our sphincter, our rectum is tight, our anus is tight. But it shouldn't be painful, right? So, and then there are so many nerve endings in the anus and in the rectum that it's really an amazing place for really deep sensation. And for the woman, if you are receiving, there you can stimulate what they call the A spot. And if you're a man receiving fingers, toys, you know, whatever it might be, you can actually stimulate the prostate from inside and have a really amazing P spot orgasm. So there's really cool new spaces to try, new spaces to explore, new spaces to experience pleasure from anal play. And I love that we're talking today about anal play, because I think, right, one of the things, and we'll go through some tips and everything like that, but one of the things is that people think, oh man, it has to be penetrative sex. It's no, not at all. Like, there's toys, there's fingers, there's different ways to play. And I always recommend that before going right to anal sex. So that's because you're basically like training the anus to be able to relax so that it's not painful.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing I think sometimes intimidating for guys too, is they go, well, what are you going up there for? What's going to happen? But you're saying too, and this is kind of what I've read as well, it does feel really good, that it really can hit your prostate, right? That's like one of the key things there. And then I guess even the entrance there, the anus actually even has so many nerve endings that can even feel good.
Absolutely. Right. And so there's nerve endings around, there's nerve endings inside, you know, and it's just in it. And there's so much novelty, right? I mean, we'll get into the reasons why you might want to explore it, but just like kind of statistically, I was looking at a study this morning that 36% of women and 44% of men, this is age 25 to 44 years old, have had anal sex in their lifetime. 30 to 42% said they liked it. Okay. One thing I was so excited we're doing this episode for is 1 in 10 say that they're uncomfortable talking about it. So 1 in 10 people in coupleship say they're uncomfortable talking about anal sex. So just like we do always on our Sex 101 pod, we're like debunking that. We're going to give you the skills, give you the information, the education so that you can talk about it. And then the main reason for reporting not liking it is that it was painful. 52% of women in the study had an orgasm from anal sex.
52%?
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
52%? I did not know that. I would not have guessed that.
Right. Yeah. So amazing. And then there, like I said, there can also be a P-spot orgasm for the man if he's receiving the anal play. But the main reasons were pain, for not liking, or pain, either was too fast and not enough lube. So when we get into the tips, we're going to address all three of those.
Wow. And so the A spot, so the P spot, I understand I have a prostate, but the A spot is something that it is similar, you're saying, to kind of like a G spot arousal spot.
Yeah, it stimulates a spot in the vagina from anal penetration that is really pleasurable, can be really pleasurable for the woman to experience. Wow. And it's one of the types of orgasm that women can experience.
Yeah. And I think going back, and this is obviously the number one thing we always talk about, is communication. I do think oftentimes because I've led tons of men's groups and talking to men, that men want to be seen as strong and respected and good men that are, you know, and oftentimes that they're the ones leading sex and they are their sexual prowess. And I think sometimes when you have something entering you, it can be vulnerable and embarrassing. And I want to tell the guys out there, it's okay to be embarrassed, or like that initial reaction isn't, you're not wrong or dumb or bad. But I think the idea here is if you can open up communication, you can realize, wait a minute, this is about pleasure and providing each other pleasure and trying new things and seeing if it works or if it doesn't. And I think that a lot of times people just, if they're embarrassed, they think, well, it must be wrong. But that doesn't, no, I mean, it is different. Putting something up your butt, most people maybe haven't done that before. And then, you know,
it is a novel feeling for sure.
Right. And so you gotta, you know, take your time and figure that out. And it's okay to be a little embarrassed, or it might be hard to talk about. But I think once you talk about it, you can experience something that might give you a lot of pleasure.
Right. And exactly. No, I so appreciate you saying that, because, right, that's one of the main reasons why we do this podcast, is to the adult sex ed you wish you had, right? So understanding that there's so much, no pun intended, so much room for pleasure, space yeah. for pleasure up there, up the anus and in the rectum, that there's different kinds of orgasm, there's nerve endings, there's different sensations, right? So there, and giving you the skills to talk about it. And that this isn't just about the woman receiving anal play or anal sex. It also can totally be the man with fingers, with toys, with anything penetrative. And that is totally something that you can feel okay to explore. And we encourage you to explore if it's something you and your partner want to explore, that man or woman, it doesn't matter. This is possibly for a lot of you, a new place to explore. Right. And those would be the reasons you would want to try it, that we would, you know, that we encourage you to try it if you and your partner are both open to it, is, like I said, the nerve endings. Plus, it's novel. There's like a kinky factor to it, right? It's a little taboo. It is a very commonly searched porn topic for this reason. And so that, you know, it adds some spice, it adds some fun, it adds some play, and it can also add a lot of really powerful pleasure.
Right. And it obviously it works well in like in the gay community, like my gay friends, they obviously are, you know, having talked to them, enjoy it. It can be very much enjoyed. So yeah, the starting somewhere, and that's where we can go. Where do you want to start at here? Is it, where do you want to hit at? You want to hit some tips?
Let's start at prep, like, right.
Okay. So, yeah.
One of the things that is, I want to give you some like logistics about prep. So prep is really important for anal sex for lots of reasons, because there are species. I mean, you're not going to get around it. That is, right. There is poop up, right? Like, you got to just know that, be okay with that. So how do you prep and prepare so that you feel more comfortable, and that you actually are more comfortable, and that you're safer, right? So just kind of the risk, just, I guess, let's start with the risk before the prep. There is a higher chance of STIs with anal sex. So a lot there, you know, so use condoms or don't use condoms, and that is up to you and your partner, but you certainly can, even if you're in a committed relationship, can use a condom that can help kind of bring down some of the nerves around the whole poop factor, but also to reduce the risk of STI with anal sex. And so, you know, I think the risk of STI, and then the other big tip I would give about prep is don't double dip, right? So if you're doing anal sex or anal play or using toys or fingers, make sure you do not go back into the vagina. That is a that's like a freight train to UTI. I've had that personally, and it is not fun. I highly recommend not doing that. So you can, you know, so making sure if you are going to play in the anus or around the anus, and this is man or woman, make sure you clean your hands, clean your toys, you know, clean your mouth, you know, and then definitely if the penis is going inside the anus, making sure you don't put the penis in the vagina without prep, without cleaning up. And so that's just because of anatomy, right? The feces and the vagina and the urethra do not like each other. So, right. And so that's, again, that's just understanding anatomy, and a little preparing ahead of time can make that so that that risk is really mitigated. So as far as prep, you know, cleaning, like making sure you've had a bowel movement, like if you've had a bowel movement 2 to 4 hours before, you're good. Okay. Like, you know, so a lot of times you'll hear like, I don't want to do that first thing in the morning because I haven't had a bowel movement. Right. So just know yourself, know your body on that. Like, that's an easy prep. I don't recommend anal douches. A lot of people use them. I just think our bodies are really wise. I prefer the more natural route, but that's certainly an option.
That's like something you put up there and flush it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like an enema to kind of flush it out, but your body naturally flushes out. Again, if you've had a bowel movement, and again, you're not going to get rid of all the poop. There is, you gotta be okay with poop. There is poop up there, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're squeamish about that, then maybe playing around and on the outside would be a great, and it certainly is a great place to start.
If you're an athlete, you know, the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And then the second thing about prep is lube. And I mean, like, like a lot of lube, like lube and then a lot more lube, right? Because unlike the vagina, the anus doesn't self-lubricate. And so the rectum doesn't self-lubricate. So you're adding the lubrication and it needs to stay. So, you know, you can use water-based, you can use silicone-based, you can use oil-based. You can't use oil-based if you're using latex condoms. And you can't use silicone-based if you're using silicone toys. But otherwise, it's really up to you. There's specifically created anal lubes that, like, are stickier, slipperier, and last longer. So, like, a ton of lube, okay? Because it helps the sphincter to relax.
Yeah, and I would probably, would you recommend staying away from anything like a warming lube or anything like that? Would that, like, is there any, like, anything that, like, lube?
Yeah, good question. I think so, because, I mean, it's already going to be such a novel sensation. It's like, now you're adding tingling. Like, well, I can just tell you, you're going to have tingling anyway. So I don't think you need that. Like, I don't think you need that.
And then the other... One other question I had, too, would be, I'm wondering, like, if you're having sex and this is your first time, you're like, okay, we're going to try this. Do you think you start with anal play and then pause, do some cleaning, you know, and then you can move to the other stuff? Or would you start regular?
Yeah, good question. I think it really depends. One of the things for sure in the tips that we're going to get to is, like, you got to have a lot of foreplay. So if the woman is the one receiving, let's just use that as an example, then, you know, the woman, but this is for the men too, like, they need to be really, you need to be really turned on. So a lot of foreplay. So going right for anal play, unless you're really excited and really turned on, I would not recommend. I would recommend a lot of foreplay, and then you can decide of, like, hey, let's play this way first, or let's start vaginally and then move to anal. You know, and again, it's like, it can be part of the sexy thing, like, go take a shower together in between, you know, if you're gonna switch
that's
a
good idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so, or have like a warm washcloth and, you know, there to, like, kind of clean up or whatever. So there's so many ways, but foreplay and being very turned on, whether the man is receiving or the woman is receiving, is really key. And I mean, like, really turned on, not like, you know, like hot to trot sort of level turned on. And so, And then I think the only other last, like, prep tip is actually planning for the aftercare, right? So how are you going to clean up? Are you going to, like, and again, just not switching back and forth. I mean, they do that all the time in porn, but I can tell you, like, it's a really quick way to a bladder infection if you, like, are switching back and forth for most urethras, most women and their urethras. So, but just planning about, like, okay, let's start this way and then let's take a shower together and we can finish vaginally or whatever it might be. So that's kind of just planning ahead there. But, you know, and then I think as far as, like, other tips, I would say start small, right? We kind of talk about this when we talk about anything, like, in this, on our podcast, is you don't have to start with full on penetrative, you know, doggy style anal sex, right? Like, that's like, there's literally, like, you're training your body to be able to relax on it's counterintuitive, right? We tend to tense. If anything that goes in or near the anus, we tense our anus. And so you're learning to relax, learning to feel that pleasure. So starting small, like, right, toys, fingers. I mean, they're just, even like you mentioned earlier, Toby, a round has a lot of nerve endings, right? Mm-hmm. And again, this is the man's anus or the woman's anus, wherever you're playing, and maybe you're playing with both, but you can start small.
Yeah, 100%. I was surprised, like, with Marriage Supply, the smaller, like, butt plug really sold. I think people are like, I think people do naturally, like, what am I putting in there? Let me start somewhere and see how that feels and then work your way up. And I think that is probably one of the best advice pieces that we're talking about here too. You don't have to start, like, I think porn just gives you a misguided view of exactly what's going to happen, especially in your, you know, the beginning stages of it. So I think start small and then work your way up. Oh, you know, that felt good. I might could try something a little bigger, or no, this is perfect size, you know, like, whatever that might be. I think if you start there, it could be a lot more helpful.
Exactly. And that's why they also grade, you know, different plugs and different toys, like, grade them in size, because it's really, so starting small and starting slow. That's the other tip, right? Super, super, super slow, right? And I, so slow that I actually recommend having a safe word if you're going to do it, try anal play or anal sex, which we talked about this in a few different episodes, but a safe word in just at least the stop, which means literally stop right now. Like, you don't, they don't have to pull, let's say, a finger out. it's actually like, because that can cause some pain too. It's stay exactly where you are. Don't push in any further. And then what happens, this is just anatomy, the sphincter relaxes. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, you can go a little further, right? And you just stepwise, grade-wise, and then all of a sudden you're past the sphincter and you're like, wow, that actually feels really pleasurable. So that's the key. It's like the sphincter is really tight, which is one of the reasons people like anal sex, right?
Yeah.
The man or the woman. And then once you're past that, there's a lot of pleasure, but you got to go really start really small and start really slow.
Yeah.
And that's key, right? To, again, the communication piece, to be able to say to your partner, stop, slow down, you know, and then the other piece that I recommend it. So the safe word, the going slow. And then, like you mentioned, like the toy, right? That's a big seller. It's likely because I really recommend practicing solo first, right? And you might be out there like, wait, I'm talking about anal sex with my partner, but practice solo when you're in your self-pleasure, play around, get comfortable with how many nerve endings there are, how pleasurable that feels. Like for men, you can externally stimulate the prostate without going inside of the anus, which is pretty amazing for most men to experience. They haven't, maybe they've experienced like the old prostate exam, like finger up the
right.
butt from like the older doctor, you know.
Yeah.
But the, you know, really exploring on your own is a really great way to be like, okay, I feel more comfortable there. I feel more comfortable with that. So
yeah. And maybe, I mean, probably this is another good question. Would you recommend starting with something that's not like battery operated, like no vibrate, like maybe just something that's just like just a plug, a silicone plug or something like that, that just goes in and stays?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think so, like, right, your own finger, your own toy.
Right.
And even if you're going to do, if you're using something that vibrates, like go around the outside, right?
Yeah.
Perineum is really sensitive, right? So the between the vagina or the penis and the anus is the perineum, and that's really sensitive. So vibrate that with a toy on the outside and be like, oh yeah, wow, that feels really good, right? Or I don't really love that. Like, there's no right or wrong. This isn't like you have to like it or you're not. It's just likely an unexplored area for you in your coupleship.
Yeah, I think you're right too. And I think a lot of people do forget, like, they have hands, and, you know, I mean, in a way, like, you can have, you know, vaginal intercourse and be using your hands at the same time and create some stuff. I mean, obviously you want to be careful with that too, but it doesn't necessarily have to be penis in butthole.
Nope.
You know, you can start with, like you said, a finger or a small toy or something like that and experience and just see, because I think sometimes people want to go and once again, I do think that porn gives us a misconception about what sex could be or should be, as opposed to what it's like with your partner. Because with your partner, it should be way slower, should be way more intimate, way more loving, and maybe even careful here and there until you figure out what you like, and then you can go from there.
Yeah, and that's for sure. And that's one of the questions I get asked a lot is about positioning, like best position for anal sex. And you know, I think it's interesting. Research would say that doggy style or woman laying on her stomach, this is from male to female, so the woman receiving is the best position. You know, anecdotally, my own personal journey and also like what I've heard from clients and friends is actually that you know, is I recommend the man lying on his back and the woman on top. And the reason for that is because you, as the woman, if you're receiving the penis or something in the anus, you are in charge of how slow, how deep, and the angle, you as the woman. So that's what I recommend. But statistically and research would say that doggy style is the most preferred position for anal. But to me, that's like once you're comfortable with it. You know, it does give a really great angle as far as on that A spot. But, you know, it's a play around with it, I guess. So, you know, doggy style, woman laying on her stomach, woman on top. Those are kind of the most common positions. The most commonly disliked position is actually woman lying on her back, reported by women for feeling more pain with anal sex, is the woman lying on her back and doing anal sex that way. So
interesting. Yeah, I can see that her being able to control the depth and the speed is actually probably a lot better, maybe more comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. You're very much in like, right. You just stop moving or you change your angle or you add more lube or whatever. You're just more in control. But again, that doesn't mean that has to be the position. If you're doing lots and lots of communication, that is the key. And I recommend like take your normal amount of communication and triple it if you're going to play anally.
Right. And for the guys out there, if your lady, or your guy's going to try something on you, I guess it would be kind of similar. I don't know if it would be doggy style or the guy on top or what that might be, or just, you know.
Yeah. Again, I mean, it really depends. That's pretty like varies on the reports from men in research and just also in my experience. But I think, again, starting small, starting outside, starting with, you know, with external prostate massage and then maybe moving to internal prostate massage. There's tons of books. You can Google it. There's a lot of education. I call it eduporn. There's a lot of educational porn on how to give your man a prostate massage. But it's a really amazing thing for the man to experience and receive, and a really cool, I think, really cool thing to offer to your man as the woman, because it's just really, I mean, who else has ever felt their prostate? Like, that's pretty damn special and sacred.
Right. Right. 100%. All right. You got any other topics you need to hit on that?
No, I feel like that was a lot.
Well, I do say like we always say, and this is a key one, is lube. You know, folks can get your lube. Where can they get your lube? Because it's great.
Thanks. If you're going to use our lube, our Love Deep Lab lube, definitely I recommend the coconut oil base, because it's going to be more tacky. It's going to last longer in the anus and in the rectum. And you can't use that if you're going to use a condom, because it's oil based. And so, but yeah, ours is really great. The coconut based is really great for, you know, water based is actually the most common use lube anally. And I disagree. I would say silicone or oil is a better bet. But again, knowing whether you're going to use a condom or not.
Yeah. And you can get that lube. Where can they get it at? Because if they use Marriage Supply, Marriage Supply 20, you get 20% off. Use that code.
Yes, Marriage Supply 20 is our code to get 20% off. And it's the website for the lube is lovedeeperlab.com. And you'll see a products tab all the way to the right. And that'll take you to our lube site. You can learn all about it. It's got the CBD. It has really like all the amazing benefits that I love of CBD that, you know, are not FDA approved, but very much user reported. But it's been a fun love project for sure.
Oh yeah, totally. And it's a great lube. Highly recommend it. Use a lot of it and then enjoy having some anal sex.
Supply 20.
yeah, 100%. Okay. I got the stump stormy before we get to listener questions. You might know that. I don't know. I was wondering, I was like, am I going to be able to stump her with this? Can you, do you know how many states they call it sodomy? How many states it's illegal to have sodomy in, and how many of them can you name?
Oh gosh.
You know where a lot of them are.
I mean, I'm thinking through.
if anybody, but you know where
I'm
a lot of them are.
I'm gonna say, I don't know why I'm going with it. I'm gonna say six states that it's illegal.
Six states? All right.
Yeah.
16 states have sodomy laws.
Shit, I wasn't even close.
16 have sodomy laws against perverted, in quotations, sexual practice and crimes against nature. How many do you think you can name?
You know what, though? I'm going to try to name a few, but I'm going to guess that one of them is the same state that also limits the numbers of make it illegal to have, I think it's more than three vibrators, and that would be Texas.
You are correct. Texas is in there.
Is my state in there? Is Utah in there?
No, I thought it might would be. It's actually not. Yay. It's not
very
on there.
Progressive of my Utah. Yeah,
we can definitely go through. We know the southern ones: North Carolina, South Carolina, yeah. Kentucky,
Alabama,
Alabama, Florida. Which I was kind of surprised. Yeah. I feel like Florida's moving. Georgia, Louisiana. And then Mississippi. Those are all the southern ones.
Gentlemen out there are really missing out.
I know. I don't understand. Yeah, it's just like, whoa, hold on. We gotta protest and fight these laws. It's kind of crazy. I was surprised at Idaho, Massachusetts, Michigan. Yeah, I know. And then I think it was Kansas and Oklahoma in the Midwest. So. Man.
I mean, you know, I don't even want to get into the politics, but to me, it's like, I say this all the time, like the world of repression has never worked. And yet we try it all the time, particularly in the realm of sex and sexuality. Right. So,
right.
You know, to me, that feels like repression, and I'll just leave it there. So,
yeah. And what's really depressing here is that in Kansas, Kentucky, and Texas, the act is only illegal it for same-sex relations, which I was like, whoa, that's just so frustrating. And then, but there was a landmark case in 2003 in Texas when a same-sex couple was charged with having anal sex in private. The Supreme Court did rule that making private same-sex activity between consenting adults illegal was unconstitutional. But so it means the laws are rarely enforced, but still just to being on the books, I mean,
you brought up the consent piece there. So we didn't say that in the tips, but obviously we're always talking about full consent when we're giving our tips and our sex education, you know, and I think consent is an interesting thing when it comes to like, you know, I know in the last episode, I mentioned the wants, wills, wants list. And I had a handful of people reach out, email me for the wants, wants, wills list, which is awesome. But that's on there, right? Anal sex, yeah. Anal play is on there because it might be a want for you and a won't for your partner. And that gives you you got to respect your partner's boundaries and you can have really great conversation about that. But maybe you're both wants to play an anal play and you don't know it about each other. Like, wouldn't that be cool? So, you know, again, that communication piece. Is in just finding out where your partner is. What, and then if they're a won't, respect that. And with curiosity, it can be like, you know, what is your won't? Like, what's behind your won't? You don't have to explain a boundary. Boundary is just a boundary, but it's really lovely to say, you know, this is a won't for me because I've done it once and it really hurt or whatever it might be, you know.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. Must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yep. All right. Enough of the anal play. You want to get to some listener questions?
Yes.
And we have several. You want to see if we can make it through all of them?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's see if we can get through all these. All right, this comes from Like a Virgin, touched for the very first time. it's funny. I was talking with some friends and I was going back through, like, there are several music videos that really ignited my sex drive when I was, and Madonna was one of them. It was that, the song where she's in.
She was so hot. She
was in the bed and there was the bullfighter and he died or something. I can't even remember what I can't remember the name of the song right now, but that one, there was some real, like, Meatloaf Objects in the Rearview Mirror. I thought that lady was so hot in there. The, Wicked Game. What a wicked game we've, you know, that one with the, where she's like half naked on the beach. I mean, all of those, I was like, whoa, I am learning something here. What is this doing to me? You know, those videos
that's
got
so
me.
Fun. Those are such like tender memories, yeah. You know, yeah. and like really, really like sex positive memories, right? Like that's so cool.
Yeah, 100%. All right. My husband and I both waited to have sex till we were married. We've been married for a little over a year and we have sex often, about 1 to 3 times a week, and are romantic and flirty with each other too. But my question is, do we know if our sex is good? We both enjoy it, but how do you know if you're having amazing sex or you should try some new things?
Oh, I love that question. Well, first of all, like your frequency and the fact that like you both are enjoying it is, and that you're flirty outside of sex, those are all amazing things and amazing and really, you know, honor you and honor your relationship for that. And then your question about, you know, what is like, are we having amazing sex? Well, I love that too, because it means you're open and curious about exploring and always like the intention and attention you're putting on your sex life is going to make you have a great sex life. I mean, it really is that simple, right? Yeah. Particularly in a long-term committed partnership. And so, you know, I would say amazing sex life in quotes, because what's amazing to someone else might not be amazing to another person, right? So it's really But I love the question because you're putting your intention and attention on it. And so the first thing I will say is what I say basically to answer every question is like, have a conversation with your partner. Like, it sounds like you guys have that safety, you have that trust to say like, how are you feeling about our sex life? Is it feeling totally fulfilling for you? Are there things that I could be doing differently? Things you're interested in? You're just having a conversation about always continuing to grow and expand and explore and find more pleasure in your sex together. And so that conversation, like, I would think is a really great place to start.
Yeah, 100%. I think having the conversation, obviously, and then because sometimes I think when you're having sex, it feels good and you don't want to hurt each other's feelings or whatever. But, you know, if you are having thoughts of, I wonder if there's more than this, then I think just have the conversation. That's not saying that it's bad or that you're not enjoying it, but, you know, right. It never hurts to have a conversation in love, you know, and in care and in respect. I think that those conversations actually open the door to letting you know. And it is hard sometimes to know because you are having sex and you are caring about that person. And there's so much outside of the actual having intercourse that plays into that, you know, you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or your partner's feelings because you love them so much, you care about them so much, but it's okay to just have that conversation for sure.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think that's really well said. And I think that, like, we can be very orgasm focused as a culture, particularly as a hetero culture. And you know, I would say, like, taking some of the focus off of your orgasm or your partner's orgasm, don't worry, I'm not taking away your orgasm, but like, it helps you to broaden the experience, to like be more interested in the foreplay and the luxuriating and experience. We tend to go for what we know works, especially in partnerships, which is great. Your orgasm is amazing and so is your partner's, but that it's also like that it helps to sort of shift if we can be less orgasm focused, right? And we're so fucking goal focused, goal oriented as a culture in general. So of course we often are in sex too, but being less orgasm focused will also help improve your sex life.
All right, next question. This comes from Harry Palmer. Did you ever call masturbating Harry Palmer? Is that just where I grew up?
No, you know what? I was like Rosie Palmer.
Yeah, Rosie
Palmer. So like
Palmer.
When I was on a dating app one time, like someone wrote like something like Rosie Palm and I didn't get it, but then I got it after that. But,
I think because I grew up, you know, pre-internet and we called it Harry Palmer, and then later I heard Rosie Palmer and I was like, I wonder if it just got changed because we didn't even know growing up in the, you know, South, and we just like, oh yeah, Harry Palmer, because the idea was supposedly if you masturbated your hand got hairy or something. Pretty crazy.
You'd have a lot of Bigfoots walking around, a lot of hairy people walking around.
Is it wrong to fantasize about other women when I masturbate?
Yeah, you know, I think the question there, I love that question. So, you know, no, it's totally normal to fantasize while masturbating. This is for men and women, actually. Very common. Men tend to fantasize in a different way, but actually the frequency is pretty similar according to research. But it's, you know, it's totally okay to have fantasies, right? Our brain is our greatest sex organ. So you're kind of tapping into creativity. And I mean, our brain is really truly our greatest sex organ to allow for the most pleasure in our life. You know, but I think and a lot of research would say that that is better, quote, and I don't like that much so much, but better than, let's say, the visual stim of porn. Like, so fantasizing your own creativity because you're doing it without the visual stim of porn can actually be great, can actually be really powerful. I think the question I would say, so it's totally normal. The question I would ask is, did you ask the question because you feel guilty? Or are you just wondering about it? Because both are okay. But if you're feeling guilty, then just get curious about why you might be feeling guilty. Does it feel like in some way you're betraying your partner, or that your partner would be hurt to find that out, right? Like, I really respect privacy in relationships, so long as it's not, you're not withholding because you're afraid of your partner's response or you're breaking an agreement or something in your partnership. But again, maybe the conversation of like, maybe your partner doesn't want to know. Maybe your partner would want to know, would that would be a health, you know, healthy communication. So just getting curious on if you feel guilty, why you feel guilty, can be a really powerful place for your own growth.
Yeah. Coming from my evangelical background, those folks that know, I wonder if part of this is growing up Christian or just being told that even the thought, you know, that that's what we're told us, even in the Bible, that, that even the thought of having sex with another person is cheating on your partner or your spouse. And so I think that you can have a lot of guilt. And at the same time, I think, like you said, it is kind of twofold. If it is causing an issue, like if you're only fantasizing, like even when you're having sex and you're fantasizing about other people, that can be an issue. And you really do need to, take it in consideration. Why am I having these thoughts? What does this mean? Where am I headed with my mind? Because your mind is so strong, it is your most powerful sexual organ that, you need to take those into consideration. I think the other thing there too, though, is that, our Christian upbringing, everybody says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And from my point of view, they were all doing it. So if everybody's telling you not to do something, but everybody's doing it, just hiding it, that's not good. That is not good. So you can be, I think everybody has fantasies about all kinds of stuff. I have fantasies all the time. I mean, I've been fantasizing since January that I was going to win the HGTV Dream Home. I didn't win it, but I've been fantasizing about it. I entered every day for like 2 months. That's how long the damn thing lasts.
Totally.
And I thought I was going to win it. I did not win it. But you can have fantasy, and that fantasy didn't make me go, I'm going to win, I'm going to quit my job, or I'm going to win and I'm going to be rich forever. You know, I mean, you can have some fantasies, and that your mind, you can let your mind run and explore some things while not being cruel or cheating on your spouse, I think. So just figure out why if you feel guilty.
And sexual fantasy is our most common human experience. Like, we have sexual fantasies a lot more than we have sex.
Right.
According to research. Right. So it's really common. It's very universal. And again, to your point, it's like, is there a conversation there, and just getting curious about that? And then to your point, Toby, if it's a compulsion, if you feel like you have to fantasize to masturbate or experience pleasure or orgasm, then that's something to look at for your own growth.
Right. Yep. 100%. And I mean, if that was the case too, then I mean, you know, I mean, people are having sexual dreams and, you know, sex dreams, and that's not cheating on your spouse. That's, you know, and that's still your mind. Yeah. So, all right, next one. Knock, knock. Who's there? 2 nights ago, our 9-year-old walked in on us having sex. I screamed for her to get out, and she did. I felt badly immediately for yelling, and quickly went out and told her I was sorry. She's fine now, but I think she's having questions about what we were doing. I want to explain in more detail about what her mother and I were doing, but wondering if we should both tell her about sex, or should it be only her mom? Also, how many details do you share with your kid?
Yeah, these are awesome questions, right? So a couple of things that I'm going to start with the vague one is, it really depends on your child. So you know your child best. I do not think it should only be the mom. I think it's awesome that this dad wants to be involved as well, right? Because then you're coming at it as a united front, and not like, oh, this is how dad talks about the birds and bees, and this is how mom talks about the birds and the bees. I also don't recommend the birds and the bees, because that is the next point I would have, is like, don't lie to your kids, right? Like, our discomfort should not lead to us lying to our kids about sex, because we want to be teachers and sound people for them, and the biggest thing you can do is open the door for your children to talk to you about sex. You cannot make them talk to you about sex, but your level of comfort and your messaging opens the door, and that is absolutely key to sex positivity and to them having a healthy relationship with sex. You'd rather you get it from you than from like porn or a friend or whatever, or like the older cousin, because they will get it from those messages too.
Yeah.
So I think the question is awesome. I would say, you know, it was sweet. Don't feel badly that your child walked in. Many of us parents, myself included, have experienced that.
Yeah.
You know, and I always joke that like maybe my son's going to need therapy about it down the line or something. but no, really, it gave me a chance to repair and restore with my child. So, you know, there's tons of books out there about, you want to make it age developmental mind appropriate, but it really also varies because you know your child best, right? Some children are kind of wise minds and some are a little bit behind on those things. So trust your parental gut on that. And then, you know, so just basically some basics though, 0 to 2, you kind of want to use and I recommend using the correct genital term, not like wee-woo, wee-wee and woo-woo or whatever, you know, because you want to teach your children that there's nothing ashamed or bad with our genitals. And then just in 2 to 5, you're really talking about boundaries, consent, safe touch. You know, and that gender, I think it's a great place to introduce that gender is non-binary, right? Is not binary.
Right.
And then 6 to 8, you're talking about digital safety. And I thought that was crazy, by the way, when I was in my training in medical school, that was not that early, but now with the digital world, they're talking about 6 to 8 years old is when we start teaching our children digital safety. And that was like kind of scary to me as a parent, but it is the world that we are in.
Right.
You start talking about masturbation, talking about mechanics of sex, you know, and there's tons of books out there. And then for this listener's question was 9 to 12. And so really at 9 to 12, you're talking about things like, you know, safe sex and sexism and sexualization. I mean, you're really like, it's really, things are moving faster. Children are hitting puberty earlier and earlier. The
right.
digital world makes things happen earlier. So we kind of have moved up. And you want to just be, you know, be aware of that. And then obviously teens, you're talking about things like safe sex and birth control and all of that as well. But, you know, I think it's a great question. And we really are our children's best models for sex positivity.
Yep, 100%. I think, yeah. And honestly, I think your kids really appreciate it if you're just honest with them and just and treat them with respect and give them, you know, let their minds take it in and let them ask the questions that they have. Don't answer the questions before they ask them, you know, let them go, oh, I have these questions, and let them see. And it, cause this is probably also not probably definitely shouldn't be just one conversation. You should have more conversations about this.
Yep.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Let this be, last for a while. That can turn into weeks and months even, but definitely be there to answer their questions. I've been trying to work on that even with my kids too. Like, let them, when they have a question, go, they can handle this as long as they know their dad cares about them and that they, I'm answering in a way that I'm trying to answer the best I can. And it's okay to say some things I don't know about. You know, you definitely
totally.
Aren't going to show your 9-year-old this podcast, but you can talk about some things with them. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right. No, absolutely. So right. You mentioned a couple of things, reading your child, like knowing when they're saturated, when like, that's enough, like they've heard enough. They're like, they kind of get that like deer in the headlights, like, oh my gosh, look, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, your child saying to you like, oh mom or oh dad, that's so awkward is like the perfect thing. Cause the door is still open. You have still been the adult leading in healthy communication on saying, I'm here, even if this makes me uncomfortable, I'm here with you in it, right? Yeah. And you working on your own level of comfort and talking to your children about sex is our work to do as parents,
yeah.
right? And I think, and it is part of sex positivity, which is one of the things we're excited to promote on this podcast, right? This is adult sex ed, so we can be better equipped to educate our children.
Yeah, 100%. All right, last question. Honk if you see us having sex. I think it would be fun to have sex in public, but my wife is reluctant to try this and is afraid we'll get caught. I'm thinking we could try something in the car or maybe some room with a locked door. My wife hasn't said no, but should I keep asking or let this go?
So a couple of things about that. So I love this question. So it is one of the most common sexual fantasies is sex in a public place. It is one of the most commonly searched porn topics too. But you know, it's something to be thoughtful about because it, you could, you know, let's just take the worst case scenario. You could get like arrested, like it could be illegal. So we don't want that to happen. Okay. But that's also one of the reasons why it's such a common sexual fantasy, right? It's the taboo. It's the risk of getting caught. It's hot. It's, you know, it's erotic. It's all these things, right?
Yeah.
So again, like not to belabor communication, but communication, right? Talking about it. So should you let it go? If it was your question about should you let it go, if it's something that is really exciting and turns you on and is like definitely a want for you on that wants, wills, won'ts, and your wife is not a won't, maybe she's a will, but she's got some hesitations. No, the conversation is awesome about it, right? And maybe have a conversation when you're out on a date and feeling really connected or have a glass of wine or whatever, to say like, this is why I'm really excited about it. Like, this is what turns me on about it. How about you? What do you feel nervous about? Right. Like you're just having the conversations about it, is a really great place to start. And again, like you can start small, like you don't have to go like, you know, having sex in the middle of a restaurant or something, you know,
right.
You probably would get arrested for that, you know, depending
right.
on the state. You know, so that you mentioned a room at a room at a party, if you're at a party and you can lock the room, like that's a place to start, you know, a co-ed bathroom that can lock. I mean, those are places that are safer, but still might meet that fantasy, might meet that need. And sex outside is another one that's really common for like the whole sex in public. Like maybe I don't know, like a mountain cabin where you could get caught, but probably won't, but it might meet that fantasy, right? So you get to be playful about that and explore what that fantasy looks like, where your boundaries are with it. Like, you know, maybe your boundary is like, okay, we absolutely can't get caught because my work or whatever. I just rather not have that in my record or whatever. And so then you factor that in, right?
Right. Yeah. 100%. The first time I ever tried it, my girlfriend and I at the time, this is so long ago. We found a street that was like a new housing development, and it was kind of still a wooded area, and no one would go back there at all. And we're like, oh, we could probably try this out here. But then another girlfriend I dated was, you know, she wanted to have, didn't care about anything. And while we were riding down the highway, was going to do Roadhead, and I was like, there's a family over there. I am not doing that. I was the prude, you know. I was like, no, not gonna do that. So you need to feel comfortable, and it's probably sometimes for better, you know, because it's not, if it's just for, you're not trying to be an exhibitionist, you know, you don't want to, right. You know, that's not exactly what you're trying to go for. So
yeah. No, and so that's actually a good point, right? So voyeurism and exhibitionism would be different, right? So there might be an aspect of like it might be the sex in public might be, you know, often that's like the risk of getting caught, right? That is what's kind of behind that fantasy. So get curious. Maybe your fantasy is to have other people watch, right? Which would be a different fantasy. So just getting curious on that.
That's true.
You know, and so but also there's little G-rated, not G-rated. There's PG-13 rated ways to also explore that. Maybe you are out in public and you're texting each other what you would be doing if you were having sex in public. Like, you know, there's like little ways to tease it too that might meet that fantasy. Or there's like the things like the little bullet vibrator that you literally can like tuck in a panty and you're over there controlling it. Like there's like an app or like a little remote and you're like stimulating your partner from afar. There's like, this happens in like movie scenes, you know, and it's super hot. It can be an amazing way to play with, you're playing with your partner without being at risk of getting caught, you know? So many different things about that fantasy, but it's a really common fantasy and it's a super sexy one.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Send in your listener questions. You can send them to Toby@Mayor Supply or Stormy. Where are they going to send you?
Yeah. So your listener, just put in the subject like pod questions and Toby and I will answer them anonymously like we do each week. You can send it to Stormy@LoveDeepLab. So LoveDeepLab as in boy.com. And then also you can shoot me an email. We have an interactive sex drive guide, like sex drive building methods, that has like video meditation guided worksheet. It's a PDF that normally we sell as part of our personal development series, but we're giving it away this month. And so you can just shoot me an email and just ask for the sex drive guide and I will shoot it off to you.
All right. Anything else you got going on? I know I'm jealous of you because you're in Costa Rica, but you know, that's I'm here in the I'm here in the beautiful Midwest. The corn.
I left snowy Utah to come to Costa Rica, so it's been a nice welcome chat. That's why I'm all like sweaty over here because I'm not used to it.
We hope this podcast helped you. Maybe play the back nine, drive to Toronto, or have a backdoor Billy. We'll see y'all next time.